KMAN. Andrew Shore's in for Kathy Dawes this morning, and we sure have a busy show lined up, and it all starts now with the Homeland Security and NBAF Director of Partnership Development, Marty Vanier. And Marty, welcome on into the show. I know people in NBAF, people in Manhattan get excited about NBAF, like people in the city get excited about shopping malls. So this is always a really enlightening topic. And phone lines are open for our listeners, 785-537-1350, because there's always plenty of questions surrounding this elusive laboratory up in the northern part of town. But maybe just fill us in. What's been going on with NBAF recently? I know there's been plenty of things as far as contracting and even the Department of Ag emergency response exercise. What are some of the current events that have taken place?
Well, thanks so much for having me back, and Happy New Year to everyone. There's a lot going on at NBAF right now. It's hard to tell, once again, like most things, it's hard to tell from the street, but we have been pouring lots and lots of concrete, even through the winter, even through some of this weather that's less than perfect. We've actually had a really pretty good stretch of weather, so concrete has been able to pretty much pour uninterrupted. And that's been a big part in helping the construction project stay on schedule. So that's good. 2017 is going to be a really big year for the NBAF project. Obviously, we've been doing construction for a little while. But now that we've got a big part of the construction going on and going well, now we're at the part where Homeland Security is working with their partners in the Department of Agriculture to start planning a lot of the activities inside the building. And a big part of that is a contract that will be awarded in the next couple of months that will do just that. Because the operations in the laboratory are big and complex, the departments felt that they needed some outside support to just go through a lot of the thinking and the legwork and the writing and the research that needed to be done to create the plans for operations, for science, for transitioning from Plum Island, from expanding the research program that exists at Plum Island to NBAF, and it's a large and complex project. So we're very excited that all of that planning function is going to start this year.
Well, and it's amazing thinking, just because you talk about the construction of the building itself, that in itself has been complex, and you can't even imagine once you get all the moving parts inside how much more difficult that's going to be. And taking this laboratory from New York State and bringing it all the way to Manhattan, Kansas, I can't imagine, can't even fathom the task at hand in getting all of that set up, and even all the great minds doing all the work behind it.
Well, you're right about that. And so that's one of the great things about the team that's been put together to do this. And this team has been together long before I appeared on the scene. And they've been thinking about and planning all of these activities now for a number of years. So it isn't as if the decision was made a couple of months ago, oh yeah, now we need to start planning. There has been a time scale that we've been working from, not in a lot of really granular detail, but a time scale that has sort of suggested if construction starts on day X, then here are the various things that are going to happen in the construction schedule. And right about point Y, we need to start thinking about planning for operations. We know what the building's going to look like. We know what the capabilities are going to be. We pretty much know what particular pieces of equipment are going to go in there. But because of, for instance, the long time scale that we're looking at, technology advances, machinery changes, research equipment changes and is upgraded. So some of that has to be kind of fluid, but that means you've got to have somebody paying attention to those things and preparing to make the appropriate changes that need to take place from the point at which you make a decision about what particular widget you're going to use in what particular lab to the point where you have actually the lab, and oh, by the way, the widget is now four generations beyond what you had decided on. So how do you make that kind of transition? And that's just a small example of the kinds of things that the planning group and the planning contract are meant to address.
Well, and I would imagine a Homeland Security laboratory by a research facility, there can't afford to be any gaps, I would assume, from when they move from New York to Kansas, correct? This is something that just has to keep going because there's always going to be research. There's always going to be threats that need to be researched. I would assume this transition may not happen all at once, but gradually, so the research can continue.
You're exactly right. The transition from Plum Island to Manhattan has to appear seamless and has to be seamless to the extent that we can make it that way. So yes, there are research programs that will need to be transferred. There are archived samples that will need to be transferred. A big part of the laboratory is doing diagnostics, and all of those diagnostic tests will have to be transferred. All of the diagnosis functions will also have to be transferred. So that all has to be staged in a way so that there are no gaps in coverage.
I believe we actually have a caller on the line. So caller, welcome on into In Focus.
Well, thank you for talking about your involvement in the construction. And thank you for sharing your experiences with what's going to be the ongoing development. Because after reading today's USA Today paper about the problems with the CDC biolab and the repeat of their study of the biolab in your backyard from 2015, it was quite concerning. And you've done a good service here for me to get me down off the ceiling after reading that article. Thank you for your interest in looking after those people.
Well, thank you very much for the comment. That's certainly an important reason why NBAF and the NBAF team are doing this outreach, because we want to be very open with the community so that the community understands the capabilities of the laboratory, what's going on at the laboratory, and to just make sure that everyone's comfortable with the laboratory in the community, because certainly NBAF wants to be a good neighbor in the Manhattan community.
I would imagine, too, if you get on the internet, there's probably I've read all sorts of strange conspiracy theories regarding Plum Island, just because I did a quick Google search on it. I wanted to understand more about what this facility was. And people have some maybe strange and maybe false opinions as to what will go on at the NBAF facility. But you're right when you talk about some important research being done there. And I know recently you had a response exercise for emergency situations with the Department of Agriculture, and that's probably something that's very important to practice in the event something were to ever happen at NBAF.
Yes, thank you so much for bringing that up. I don't mean to steal the thunder of the Department of Agriculture, and I give them lots and lots of credit for what they are doing in planning for animal disease response. They conducted an exercise the week before Christmas, and it was an animal disease response that used foot and mouth disease as the example. Now, the reason that we use foot and mouth disease in a lot of these response exercises is because it is the worst case scenario. And if you can plan for and train to the worst case scenario, then you can be pretty comfortable that you can handle anything less than that, which is also more likely to happen. So it was a response exercise that was, I'll say, many years in the planning. That's not to say that it's a one-and-done kind of situation. The planning goes on constantly. There is, in emergency management, a planning cycle in which you sort of imagine what your scenario is, you write your plan, you exercise your plan, which is kind of a test, And then once that exercise is over, you analyze how you did. You grade yourself in that exercise, and then you go back and plan again because you obviously uncover things that didn't work like you thought they were going to. So you have to adjust for that. And this particular exercise was a part of that planning cycle that KDA has been doing for a number of years.
So you had this KDA emergency response exercise, and so you're planning for the worst case scenario, which is foot and mouth disease. How many moving parts were involved? If this was just an exercise, how many people took place, and what are some of the activities you did?
Well, I honestly don't have all of the data on the number of people involved, but I can tell you it was a lot. I was there at the exercise in the KDA headquarters for the 4 days that the exercise took place. So first of all, understand it took 4 days, which tells you a lot. But I can tell you that the exercise itself was elaborate and complex enough that Kansas was working with three or four other states and other state departments of agriculture and state veterinarians as they played through the scenario. They were working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They actually were working with a couple of feedlots in southwest Kansas. And so one of the elements of the exercise was to assign a foreign animal disease diagnostician to go out to the feedlot. They actually ran cattle through a chute. They took samples as if the animals had been sick. And I assure you, the animals were not sick. This was just to pretend. But they took samples, packaged the samples appropriately, and then they take split samples, so you have duplicate tests. One set of tests came up here to the diagnostic lab at the vet school. The other set of tests would notionally go to the federal government laboratory that would be responsible for testing. At this particular moment in time, it's Plum Island. In 6 or 7 years, it will be NBAF. So, which is why I was sitting in on the exercise to try to, in my own mind, understand what things might or might not be different once samples were coming to NBAF. So they actually sent a person to the feedlot. They actually ran cattle through a chute. They actually took samples. They actually brought samples to Manhattan. Now, why is that important? That's important because you need to understand how much time that actually takes. And you need to understand the processes by which you do that. How does the sample come to Manhattan? Do you put it in a highway patrol car and they drive it? Do you find somebody with an airplane and you fly it? At this point, you don't want to try to ship it, because that takes too long. You need an answer right now. So a lot of that was figuring out, how are we going to do these things? How do we do these things in December? A part of the exercise, which was sort of tangential, was, oh, by the way, on top of this animal disease outbreak, we're also going to have an ice storm in part of Kansas. So how does that impact how you operate when you now also have a weather event on top of things? So as you think about this, you can begin to understand the complexity of just the exercise itself, but also the complexity that it brings to your emergency response plan. And NBAF eventually will be a part of that, because NBAF will be the entity that will be testing these samples of potentially significant diseases. So that's why I was observing the exercise to understand some of that, because then I can communicate that once again to the planners who are planning operations, and communicate that to the Department of Agriculture officials who will be here at NBAF handling those samples, running those tests.
So how many more times, before we head to a break, how many more times do you plan on practicing these sort of scenarios before NBAF opens up in 6 or 7 years?
Well, this particular disease response scenario, which of course is something that Department of Agriculture is doing, my understanding is they have an exercise schedule, so they will be doing this sort of thing regularly. The point of that is to continue to improve their plan each time.
Pretty comforting knowing there's people concerned about our food supply and making sure everyone, of course, in the area stays safe. We're going to go ahead and head to a break, but you're listening to KMAN's In Focus. And, of course, Andrew Shores this morning in for Kathy Dawes. And for another 10, 15 minutes, we have Homeland Security and NBAF Director of Partnership Development, Marty Veneer. Phone lines will be open when we get back, 785-537-1350.